Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can know Jesus. And Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can know Jesus by his word, by his spirit, and by the fellowship of believers. And so, God, we ask that as this new year approaches, Heavenly Father, we ask that you would bless us with the knowledge that you are in control, that you will meet us as we enter into this new year. And Heavenly Father, we pray for our students that you would bless them while they're on their winter retreat. And now, God, may you open our ears, open our eyes, open our minds and hearts to your word. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Well, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Mark, and I serve as one of the associate pastors on staff. I realize that we have some visitors with us this morning, and so Pastor Titus is out, and Pastor Carey is out, so I am the third string. So you are with me this morning, and hopefully you're in good hands. We'll find out, all right? So this morning, I really am so glad we sang This We Know, because the topic of today's message is Christ-centered confidence. As we enter the new year, we don't know what that holds. As I shared a moment ago, we all have hopes and dreams and aspirations. But this we know, that we can have confidence in our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what I want us to look at briefly this morning from a passage of Scripture. If you'll turn to 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 1 through 5. That's 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 1 through 5. As you're turning there, that's our passage for this morning. Just want to share with you a couple of things. Number one, we'll be visiting some other passages that are companion passages to this one. So kind of keep your thumb in your Bible, or be ready with your iPad or your phone. We'll visit a few passages this morning, but not too many. And then secondly, this is a brief passage we're looking at this morning that's part of one of Paul's first epistles he ever wrote. He wrote this from the city of Corinth around AD 51, and he wrote it to a church that was established in Thessalonica, which was on the Aegean Sea, and so there was a heavy Greek influence here. And here's what he writes in verses 1 through 5, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored, as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men. For not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we command. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. I love that passage. And as we get started, this reminds me of a Sunday school teacher that I worked with in a church in Tennessee when the Lord had me serving there. His name was Bill Foffman, and Bill owned several Dunkin' Donut stores in the area. Now, let me just pause right there. And let me share with you, there are different levels of blessedness. And I learned this growing up in South Georgia, that one level of blessedness in South Georgia, it's very hot and humid. It's kind of oppressively hot in the summer. We all didn't have swimming pools like y'all do here, like we do here. And so it was one blessing if you knew a guy with a swimming pool. You know, that was a blessing. It was a second blessing if you knew a guy with a pickup truck, because in the summer you could take a dip in his pool, but if you had a pickup truck, you could move things around. If you're moving or hauling stuff, so you've got swimming pool, you've got pickup truck, and somewhere up here is being friends with a guy from Dunkin' Donuts, all right? because he managed several stores, and I would occasionally visit his Sunday school class just to check on how things were going, and would sample some of the wares that he brought to class, and they were delicious. There was nothing brighter than the sight of Bill with a rectangle box. It was really, it was a blessing. But I remember it was after the Christmas holidays and very start of the new year. Bill and I got into a conversation, just kind of small talk a little bit. And I asked him, how's business? And he replied, business is bad, but February is coming. And so, his confidence was based on a predictable pattern of the swearing off of donuts and the joining of gyms in January. But he knew, and he could calculate, and you've got to appreciate a man who has a good grasp on his business model. And so he was this kind of guy who had confidence in what would happen at the end of January. And so I always remember that when I think about confidence. Here was a confident man in the midst of maybe a hard time. Hey, business is bad now, but hey, Sunday's coming or February's coming, right? The Lord desires that we live with a Christ-centered confidence, not based on circumstances. And I know that that's kind of a funny illustration, but if we're not careful, we'll kind of fall into that same pattern where we think, I'll have it made if this happens. I'll have it made if that falls into place. I'll have it made if the stars align here. And we're constantly trying to grab hold of something that will give us confidence and security and stability. And the Lord desires that we live with a Christ-centered confidence, one that is not easily shaken. And I know we're looking at a passage in the New Testament, but Psalm 62, verse 6, I love this. You don't have to turn there. I'll read it for us. He only is my rock and my salvation. My fortress, I shall not be shaken. I love that. He only is my rock and my salvation. My fortress, I shall not be shaken. So my prayer is that may our confidence in the new year rest in Christ alone. And the Apostle Paul had that kind of Christ-centered confidence. And I want us this morning to look or to get a glimpse of how he had that confidence and his passion for sharing that by encouraging other believers to have the same kind of confidence he had. And so Paul encouraged his fellow believers in the church at Thessalonica, and he encouraged them in three specific ways. And I want us to see how he encouraged them specifically. Number one, Paul encouraged those believers to have a Christ-centered confidence by partnering with them in prayer. Secondly, by reminding them of God's faithfulness. And third, by pointing them to the love of God and the steadfastness of Christ. How can we have a Christ-centered confidence in the new year? Paul shares with us there are three ways, or as we look at Paul's life, there are three underpinnings of his confidence. I want to look at each one of those this morning. The first is prayer. How can we have a Christ-centered confidence like the Apostle Paul? Paul asked the Thessalonian believers to pray for him. He did that in a number of passages throughout the New Testament and a number of epistles. He would ask his readers, he would just pause right in mid-sentence and say, pray for us. Join us in prayer. Partner with us in prayer. Think about this for a moment. Paul, in asking the Thessalonian believers to pray for his missionary team, he honored them by asking that they pray for him, Silas, and Timothy. He wanted them in his corner. Paul hoped that more people would respond to the gospel like they did. They responded in faith first and fast. And then also, think about this. Paul valued these Thessalonian believers enough to ask for prayer for them, and people who feel valued usually end up feeling encouraged. Did you know that? People who feel valued end up feeling encouraged. It's kind of like Franklin Graham coming to your house and personally asking you to pray for him. What an honor that would be. And Paul was communicating this when he asked them for prayer. He was communicating that you are genuinely important to me. I value your prayer support, and I sure hope more people respond to the gospel like you did. That's not flattery, that's faithfulness. And just to show that, I want to look at the context of 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 through 5, by looking at how the church got started. So if you'll pardon me for just a minute, I'm going to dive into Acts 17, 1 through 10. This is a brief story about how the church in Thessalonica got its start. And this is Luke writing, and he writes, "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul went in, as was his custom. And on three Sabbath days, he reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, and saying, 'This Jesus, whom I proclaim to you, is the Christ.' And some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a great many of the devout Greeks, and not a few of the leading women. But the Jews were jealous, and taking some wicked men of the rabble, they formed a mob, set the city in an uproar, and attacked the house of Jason, seeking to bring them out to the crowd. And when they could not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the brothers before the city authorities, shouting, 'These men who have turned the world upside down have come here also, and Jason has received them, and they are all acting against the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, Jesus.' And the people and the city authorities were disturbed when they heard these things. And when they had taken money as security from Jason and the rest, they let them go. The brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea, and when they arrived, they went into the Jewish synagogue," and they're going to do it all over again. Think about this for a minute. These are the circumstances upon which the first church in Thessalonica was formed, and Paul is asking them to have confidence. These men who turned the world upside down, the opponents attacked a house, drug a man out into the middle of the street, and they shouted openly at believers. How are you supposed to have confidence in that context? These events would shake anyone's confidence. And yet Paul, by asking the Thessalonian believers to join them in prayer, is saying, "We are partners in the gospel, and I can't do this without you." He honors them, and he says the mission continues. The mission continues despite the opposition. The mission continues despite the enemies of the gospel. Guys, let's go. It's game time. Join me in prayer that God would open the door for other people to believe just like you did. And even in saying "just as you did," Paul was complimenting, he was commending the Thessalonian believers by saying, "I want more people like you to respond, who respond to the gospel just like you did." And so how does Paul generate, or how does Paul encourage this Christ-centered confidence? He invites the Thessalonians to partner with him in prayer. Prayer is so important. It's a cornerstone of confidence in Christ. Number two, Paul reminded them of God's faithfulness. A second way that Paul fanned the flames of confidence in the Thessalonian believers is he reminded them of God's faithfulness. Faithfulness in three ways: faithfulness to establish them in Christ, faithfulness to guard them from the enemy, and faithfulness to empower their obedience. Being established in Christ means that we are deeply rooted in Christ. I love the truths of Colossians 3, 1 through 3. If you're a believer and you're trusting in Jesus, this is what the Bible says about you. And this is the confidence that we can have before God. We are raised with Christ and we are hidden in Christ. That means that we are connected in every way we can be connected with the Lord Jesus Christ. We carry in ourselves the resurrected life of Jesus. So we can have confidence in God through that resurrected life. And then secondly, God will guard us against the attacks of the enemy. That doesn't mean that we won't experience trials. It doesn't mean that we won't experience persecution. It doesn't even mean that we won't experience death. What it means is that God will overcome what the enemy hurls at us. And we can have confidence in that truth. So Paul reminded the Thessalonian believers in stirring up a Christ-centered confidence that God is faithful. I love verse 3 where Paul is stating in the previous verse, there are wicked and evil men out there, but God is faithful. And then finally, he will complete the work that he began in us. Notice that Paul expresses confidence that the Thessalonian believers will obey the commands they've received and will continue to obey the commands that they received. And it makes me think of Philippians 2, verse 13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Did you catch that? It is God who works in you to stir up your will and to help you, to empower you, to give you strength to obey Christ's commands. It's not our strength. It is Christ in us. In other words, we don't have to conjure up the willpower to obey the Lord. As we go into this new year, we don't have to worry about trying to fake it till we make it. We don't have to conjure up the willpower to obey his commands. He is the one who supplies us with the power to obey. He is faithful to empower our will and our obedience. Now, that power is not automatic, but it's available to us in Christ. And so here, Paul is expressing confidence that I know you will obey the commands that I've given you and will continue to do so. So that brings up the question, what command did Paul reference? What was he referencing when he said, I know you will faithfully obey the command that we've given you? We won't have time to read all of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, but basically, Paul, when he visited or when he started the church in Thessalonica, he encouraged everyone to work hard. That is, work hard. Don't depend on the generosity of others in the church. Work hard. Follow our example. That is the example of Paul, Silas, and Timothy. Paul was a tent maker. He was supporting himself. Though he had a right to have an income, he didn't want to appear to be preaching the gospel for gain. So when he established this church in Thessalonica, he wanted them to follow his example by working hard, gaining an income. And there were some in the church at that time who, for whatever reason, were depending and were living off the generosity of other people. So Paul commanded them at that time, hey guys, let's work hard. Let's put forth a good witness for Christ. And so Paul left, or he actually got run out of town. Timothy checked on the Thessalonians, and to their credit, they were staying strong in the faith, but that problem still persisted. Paul heard about these believers who still were not working hard, who were still depending on the generosity of others. So he wrote them in 1 Thessalonians again, hey guys, work hard. Then he finds out again that there's still a persistent problem there. So rather than just getting frustrated and giving up on them, I love what Paul does. Paul says, you know what? I can see this is a persistent problem. You guys are faithful in the Lord, but this has to be dealt with. And I have confidence in the Lord about you. Not I have a confidence in your ability, but I have confidence in the Lord about you that you'll do two things. The idol will begin to work, and those who are faithful will confront those who are idle. The idol will begin to work, and those who are faithful, those who are following the Lord, will confront the idol and cut them off. Paul basically says later in his letter that, hey guys, if you're faithfully working, you're able and you're working and you're earning an income, I want you to cut off those who are mooching off of you. That's not a good witness for Christ. And so there's a twofold command there. And I don't know about you, but that involves a hard conversation. I can imagine some of the Thessalonian believers realizing that, hey, Paul's not going to let this go. And this involves a hard conversation with those who are mooching, with those who are living off the generosity of others, that we've got to tell them, you've got to cut it off. You've got to stop that. And where does the confidence, where does the Christ-centered confidence come from when it's time to have a hard conversation? You ever been there before where you know a hard conversation is coming and you know that you've got that looming in your eyesight, you know that's coming your way? How do we have confidence in that? We turn to Christ and we ask him and we depend on him to give us the confidence we need when it comes time for a hard conversation. So Paul reminds them, or Paul invites them into partnering with him in prayer. Paul reminds them of God's faithfulness. And then finally, Paul pointed them to the hope of God's love and the endurance of Christ. Paul pointed them to the hope of God's love and the endurance of Christ. That's the power source of living a Christ-centered life, a Christ-centered confidence. God loves us with an overcoming, everlasting kind of love. So when Paul writes the Thessalonian believers and he pens this beautiful prayer, may the Lord guide your hearts into the love of God and into the steadfastness of Christ, what he is reminding them of is you can have confidence in Christ in the midst of persecution, in the midst of trials, in the midst of difficulty, because God loves you. Remember God's love for you. May God, in this difficult season, guide your heart into his love. May he remind you of how much he loves you. And I love Romans 8, 31 and 32. It's such a beautiful expression of God's love for us. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? You can imagine the Thessalonian believers soaking that up, being hungry to be reminded of God's love for them in the midst of such persecution. And then secondly, Paul not only pointed to the hope of God's love, he pointed to the endurance of Christ. Christ's endurance is an overcoming kind of steadfastness that is ours by faith. If you're in need of steadfastness, of patience, of endurance, Christ has an ample supply for all of us. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 tells us, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, listen to this, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So here is the Apostle Paul imparting and encouraging a Christ-centered kind of confidence in these Thessalonian believers who are being besieged on all sides by false teaching, by persecution, by stubborn, disobedient believers. There were a few in the congregation. Think about the trials they were facing. And here's the Apostle Paul, and he is lifting their gaze upward. Where do we find confidence in the midst of trials and difficulties and hardships and heartache? We find confidence, the Christ-centered kind of confidence, by meditating, by reflecting, by receiving God's love for us, by remembering how much he loves us and letting that love flow through us. We receive that kind of Christ-centered confidence as we think about and we receive by faith the very endurance and steadfastness of Jesus Christ. that becomes ours by faith. We don't have the kind of steadfastness that can overcome the challenges these Thessalonian believers encountered. We find that in Christ. So whatever you're facing today, and as you look across the precipice to the new year, whatever challenges your confidence, I want you to remember this. God loves you. He loves you with an overcoming kind of love. And secondly, the endurance of Christ is yours by faith, because we are in Christ. Christ is in us. That enduring kind of faithfulness to God's will is ours in Christ. So as we finish this morning, just want to encourage you with three quick applications. As you think about your own confidence and as you consider how you can partner with the Lord in really developing and fanning the flames of a Christ-centered, solid confidence. Number one, just encourage you to partner with one another in prayer. Pray for one another, encouraging one another. So I would encourage you just in your family, among your friends, hopefully in a small group, that you let people know what's going on in your life and you invite them, just like the Apostle Paul did, invite them to pray for you. Invite them to lift you up in prayer and pray for them. Ask them, how can I pray for you? And I mean more than just an organ recital where we're praying for different body parts, and there's nothing wrong with that, but honestly pray. And hey, I'm struggling with my faith. I'm struggling in this relationship. I'm struggling with trusting him in this area, and let them know what's going on. So number one, how do we cultivate a Christ-centered confidence? Partner with one another in prayer. Let people know what's happening and invite them in to pray for you, and you pray for them in faith. Number two, remember God's faithfulness to you. And now might be a good time at the end of 2024, if you'll take a moment maybe today, sometime this week, and just journal and jot down, record some ways that God has demonstrated his faithfulness to you. Boy, I tell you what, thinking about how God has answered prayers is a great way to bolster confidence that he's going to be the same God. Pastor Richard was saying that just a moment ago, that he is the same God in 2025 that he will be today. We will encounter him, and he will be the same, and he is faithful to you. So think about the ways that God has been faithful to you and share that with someone else. And then finally, meditate on God's love and the steadfastness of Christ. Now, as we finish this morning, just want to share with you that it would be impossible to cultivate a Christ-centered confidence in a vacuum. We need one another. We need each other. We need God's word. And so just want to encourage you in a couple of ways that you can connect with God's word and the fellowship of believers. One way is on January the 15th, we will begin a new spring semester study for our ladies and our men. And so you can visit a table out in Main Street and learn a little bit more about how you can connect the biblical community, where you can find the prayer support, but you can also study God's promises together. And that is what leads to Christ-centered confidence. So I just encourage each of you to consider that opportunity. Again, the class starts Wednesday, January the 15th, but you can actually sign up by QR code. And there'll be a couple out back who can visit with you. Debbie Reeves and her husband will be out back, and they can visit with you just about how you can get connected to a class for ladies and a class for men. And then another way that you can really begin to cultivate and fan the flames of that Christ-centered confidence is by reading God's word. Notice how Paul referenced, when he was writing to the Thessalonian believers, he referenced God's promises. God is faithful. God is loving. We receive and we meditate and believe those promises by reading God's word. I encourage you to do that on a regular basis. We're reaching the end of our year, and this is a time when many of you may be considering, how can I engage in reading the Bible? Well, I'm glad that you want to do that, because David Ivey, one of our connection class leaders, has written a wonderful resource that will take you through the Bible. It is a resource that will take you through every piece of the Bible and will encourage you by giving some really insightful commentary and just helping you to dig deeper. And David will be back here at the table. I encourage you to visit with him and check out that resource. And then finally, I'll be done after this. This is not related to our message, but guys, we need more volunteers to serve on our traffic team. And our traffic team faithfully serve every Sunday morning. So there'll be a representative out back, and they would love to visit with you about getting connected on our traffic team. All right, that is my timeshare presentation. Let's get back to the message, and we will wrap up. I do encourage you. I want to encourage you to have a Christ, and me too, to have a Christ-centered confidence that's not based on circumstances. It's not based on our financial portfolio. It's not based on anything but the promises of Christ in his word. And it's based on our prayer and our care for one another. So let me lead us in a prayer. And my hope for you is that you will turn to Christ and you will realize the love of God that he has for you and the steadfastness of Christ, which will fuel that confidence. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I just thank you for the way that you show us a real man like the Apostle Paul, who is in real circumstances and faces very real difficulties, and how, God, he inspires such confidence, not because he's a superhuman being, not because he's a superman, but God, he partners with others in prayer. He reminds people of God's faithfulness, and God, he presses into your love and endurance. God, may we do the same. Would you inspire and open our hearts to that kind of Christ-centered confidence this year? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.